I think whatever the offer is, it needs to be enticing because you have to think of it from the customer's perspective.
Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, part of the amazing FBA podcast family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7-figure exit, and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Do you want to grow your business bigger and faster? A free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find missed golden opportunities. I generally charge $150 or more per hour, but this would be free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing a few thousand dollars a month in sales already. Just visit myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit, and book in a time. That's myamazonaudit.com. Look forward to speaking to you on your audit. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers. I'm Michael Veazey, your host, and today we are talking about how to get Amazon reviews in 2024. We're talking to Kusha Karvandi of Launch Titans. They're a full-service digital agency. They manage Amazon, Shopify, you name it, in e-commerce. But they have a particularly great way of setting up a review funnel, which I think is incredibly important. So first of all, Kusha, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So first of all, what is a review funnel? And before we do that, I guess we ought to just quickly get you to give us a potted history of who you are.
Sure. Yeah. No, my background has always been in health and wellness. And about 12 years ago or so, I created my first product idea, which was for these blood flow restriction training bands. And back then I didn't know anything about e-commerce. And so my wife and I, we kind of somehow stumbled upon Amazon FBA. And this is kind of in the early days of FBA or earlier days where things were a little bit simpler and less competitive. And there was nobody selling that product at the time. So it's kind of blue ocean. And it worked out so well because we found that, like, as with e-commerce, the hardest thing is really figuring out all the moving parts of logistics with, like, a third-party logistics shipping center, as well as getting traffic to your listings, getting traffic to your store. And we kind of found that this Amazon really solved the problem for doing all of it because they bring the traffic to you, they take care of the customer service, they're taking care of fulfillment. So we launched there and got some initial sales just kind of by accident without really knowing what we were doing. And over the last decade, really honed our skills and just gotten better and better and better. And we got to a point several years ago where we were able to exit our first business, which was 100% on Amazon actually at the time. And then after that, we exited our second business, which was half Amazon, half Shopify. And then the year after that, we exited our third company, which is 100% on Amazon as well. Now working on a fourth roll up portfolio of brands. So it's been quite a journey, but still love Amazon, even though obviously every year it presents new challenges, more competition, more headaches and things, but I still believe it's a great opportunity. You just have to hone your skills more and more. I don't think it's the opportunity it was, like, maybe for a beginner, maybe 10 years ago, but for somebody who's willing to put in the work and understand that this is not a short game, it's more of a long game, like 6 to 12 months. I think it's a great opportunity.
Great. Well, you certainly got a massive, massive amount of experience as an operator within the Amazon sort of ecosphere and Shopify, interestingly. So, as you say, not for beginners. I guess today's podcast is really aimed at those who've already got a product. I guess what we're doing would probably work for somebody who's launching a new product as well, right? It's quite a universal need. So why, first of all, what is a review funnel and why does it matter? Why are we going to bother in the first place to create something extra?
Yeah, because the problem with Amazon right now is that the majority of, I feel like, in my opinion, the majority of customers who organically leave reviews are typically people who complain. So, like, the people who are unhappy typically leave reviews, and the people who are happy generally don't. Unless you have a product that, if you did a really, really good job customizing that product, you went way above and beyond with your packaging and your product, you might get a little bit more positive reviews than other sellers might. But in general, the ratio of reviews compared to your purchases is still going to be very low. And the problem is, as you've probably seen, the Chinese black hat sellers, they're deploying all kinds of black hat tactics, like merging other unrelated products as variations. So they're going from 0 to 1,000 reviews overnight, having a higher overall star rating than the competition in each category and so forth. they're doing all kinds of things that really make it even harder to compete when you're trying to compete fairly. So in my opinion, you really need a strategy to be able to have a higher review velocity organically on your listing to be able to maintain and compete with the review overall rating that you need, like in terms of overall star rating, as well as overall number of reviews. Obviously, if somebody's blatantly cheating, like the Chinese sellers, you can report them. It becomes a little bit of a game of whack-a-mole and a headache to manage. But even the ones that aren't doing that, there are just more and more sellers in general. So even if everyone is playing fairly, if you're entering a category that's just inherently competitive or has a bunch of incumbents that have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of reviews, how are you really going to compete? Even if you have a significantly better product, when you start ranking that product at the top of the page of search results for your relevant keywords, the customer is still going to mostly click on the other products because they have more reviews. So you still have to have a strategy to try to get the higher velocity. And like I said, it's a long game. You're not expecting to do this overnight. This is a game that might take 12 to 24 months till you break that threshold to where now you see that hockey stick of growth. So if your competitor has, let's say, 800 reviews, it might take until you get to 100 reviews to where you take a significant amount of market share, because the psychology of the customer is that once you're in the hundreds, then that might be comparable to being 800. Or if they're at 5,000, once you get to 1,000 reviews, that might get you to the point where you start taking significant market share. So you don't necessarily have to have exactly the same number as them. You just need to be kind of relative, whether it be in the tens, the hundreds, or the thousands. And so like I said, once you get to that, that's where things really tip.
Yeah. So it needs to be the same sort of order of magnitude, literally. So they got 800, you've got 100 and so forth. Yeah. I find that you don't need an infinite number of reviews, but yeah, just to underline this, by the way, whenever I review the stats, I don't know what you've seen, Kusha, across your agency, but if you take about half a star off in your average rating, I find that the conversion rate generally drops by half, which is pretty horrendous. So it's a hugely important part of getting conversion rates, and thus contains the economics from profit to loss and all the rest of it. So anyone who's experienced will know what we're talking about. If you're not experienced, then go get some experience first. Is, as you say, not an overnight hack. So what is a review funnel itself then? So obviously it's a way of getting funnels, but why, sorry, it's a way of getting reviews, I should say, but why a funnel? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So a funnel is just really a process where you think about a funnel, it's like an upside down pyramid, and you have people coming, you have everyone coming into the funnel, and you're trying to filter them down a certain path. So in this case, an example of a funnel might be that you have some type of call to action inside the product, whether it be a card or an insert. We'll talk today about some various methods, but maybe let's say you have a card in there and the card has some kind of call to action. A typical one people have used in the past, which I don't really use, is maybe like an extended warranty or a bonus item or something like that. They click, they go to the link, they visit the URL or scan a QR code or whatnot. They go to the page on their phone or desktop. And then on that page that you've built, that leads them to complete certain actions. Maybe the action is just putting their name and email, and then you follow up via email by providing the whatever the gift you were going to give them was. And then from there, you can then communicate with the customer directly, and you can follow up for a review. So ultimately, at a high level, the idea of the funnel is to be able to interact with the customer outside of Amazon. Because on Amazon, as you've probably seen as well, when you go to like the brands tab and you go and try to see the customer reviews that are coming in Seller Central, half the time when you try to send these messages, you never get a response. Like if someone leaves a bad review, it's very, very hard to ever get a response. I think Amazon made a good change recently where they force a response through. In the past, I remember when I would send these messages, whether it be a customer support message or a offering a courtesy refund message to any negative reviewer, Amazon would send this template emails through their system to this customer. And in the past, I would immediately see like 95% would bounce back saying, this customer's opted out of all marketing emails and messages, so your email is not delivered. And now they've made it so that if that customer leaves a bad review, they will force the email to go through for them to get it. But I still see that the response rate on those template emails, which you can't customize, is very, very low. So this is a way for you to just have more control, because now you have their contact info. Now you can follow up via text message, email, whatever it may be, depending on the information you're grabbing from your funnel. And that gives you more opportunity to not only interact with them, but also kind of gauge what was the customer's experience. Did they have a good experience? Well, then that's a great opportunity to follow up for a review. Did they have a bad experience? Well, maybe you can follow up, figure out what the issue was, fix that issue, make sure they have a great experience. And then at that point, maybe you want to ask for a review.
Okay. So yeah, the review funnel specifically, as opposed to other ways of just generating reviews in general, which is obviously important, is that you've got more insight, more control, which makes sense. So, I mean, there are quite a few ways to push for reviews, right? But the simple one is the on Amazon mechanisms. But as you say, yeah, they're flawed and often ineffective. Okay, great. So how do we make one? You've mentioned already some sort of basic ideas. You've got a CTA, so a call to action, a card in the product that says get an extended warranty. I guess we've all done that. I've done that back in the past. So let's look at these. So we got the call to action that gets them in the top of the funnel. Let's talk about that first. So what are the most important things about that actual choice of the call to action?
Yeah, I think whatever the offer is, it needs to be enticing, because you have to think of it from the customer's perspective. If you're not offering something that makes sense, like I've seen like warranty or extended warranties on products that don't really make sense. Like maybe it's a dog leash or something, just okay. Someone really careful for a warranty. It right. Seems weird, but like on electronics, that would be relevant. Like if it was an expensive electronic item, then okay, what I do want, because I want to make sure that this thing doesn't break and I'm not left hanging later. So it has to be relevant. It needs to make sense. And it needs to have a high perceived value. If you want to have a really, really high conversion on that, it needs to have a high perceived value to them. So what I still see that really works, I do think like a gift or bonus item, I think does work really, really well. A lot of people offer PDFs. I don't think like PDFs or user manuals or guides or things like that are going to have a huge, huge conversion. They can depending on the product, but I don't feel like it has a high perceived value. Customers generally expect to get that stuff for free because information is ubiquitous now. It's everywhere. People can get so much free information online. So I feel like it needs to be something tangible, ideally. But the goal would be like if you sell, let's say, an item for $50 on Amazon, if you could find an item that has a perceived value for like $20, but it really only costs you maybe $5, that would be a good item, good bonus to give away as a through your review funnel. And what you'd want to do is you'd want to set up that funnel ideally so that maybe there's, depending on how many people are actually going to the funnel and going through the steps of your funnel to redeem that free gift. If everyone's going to it and it's really kind of hurting your margin too much, you might want to add some additional friction or additional steps. Maybe they have to complete a survey first in your funnel before they can redeem that free gift or something like that. Or maybe they have to wait a few weeks before they can complete a survey in order to claim the free gift. That type of friction and those steps will inherently bring some of that conversion down to a level that might be more optimal for you, so that you're not giving a free gift to every single customer who orders from you on Amazon, which you may know.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time, and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much. Listening, and I hope to see you on a call soon.
One.
Yeah, I like that. So you can sort of ratchet it up or down, but I do take your point of the physical product being seen as valuable. Ebooks feels very 2016 maximum. I mean, it's totally out of date, isn't it? So I have seen, on the other hand, a few years ago now, but I had a client in the mastermind who was selling something for about $150. It was some electronic baby kind of food processor or something along those lines. And he did offer exactly what you said. It's something like a $20 product or selling point, $20 product. And he got a very, very good uptake on that. So that's a great proof. And that's very, very good. And that also implies to me restructuring your product catalog to a point where having the margin where you can play with what is essentially a marketing spend, isn't it? So reviews are out of our direct control, but they are ultimately a sales page mechanism to increase conversion rate, right? So having that margin to play with, in this case, to give away a free product, makes a lot of sense. I think it's just something to think through. If you have super cheap products, yet another reason for not having those, right? Because if you haven't got the margin to do that. But having said that, there are some people who don't have so much margin. Is there a cheaper way of doing things that still gets some kind of response that you've come across in this sort of upfront offer?
Yeah. So there's a couple things there. The first thing I will say is that if they don't have the margin, one thing they might want to think about is what is their value ladder look like? And for most Amazon sellers, the problem is that they may only have like a couple hero ASINs, maybe one hero ASIN that's making all their sales and profitability for them. That's the core of their business. If they can add a value ladder where if they're selling, let's say, a $150 item, can they upsell a $250 item? Can they create a new version down the road and then put that on their Shopify store and now use this, basically this item that essentially costs them all in $5, let's say with shipping and everything, maybe $5 to $8. And that's basically the way you want to look at that is not only a cost against your cost of goods of that item that you sold that customer, but now it's really, you have to look at it more like that's your cost of acquisition for that lead. So instead of having to go on Facebook and advertise and get leads and customers to go to your website, now you've already got this person's email. Now you can put them on your email list or even SMS list and now upsell them or keep them informed about your promotions and other future products and affiliate products, all kinds of things that can help you easily remonetize what you spent to get that lead. And the beauty is, especially with an email list, is like there's not much cost involved in that, managing that list. Obviously, your cost per send if you're using Klaviyo or some email service provider, but that's significantly cheaper than having to continually run ads to get a product. And most Amazon sellers, in many cases, they're selling products where it's kind of like a one-time purchase, not a recurring thing. So the lifetime value is usually very, very low in that case. And so you can extend your lifetime value and make up for that cost by doing things like that. So I just wanted to mention that because it is kind of just a psychological shift. It's a little bit of a change of paradigm perspective when you think about baking in some of these additional costs. It's more of like an investment to building your own asset, which is this customer list that you can then use. And then the beauty is down the road when you want to sell your business, now you have a bigger asset. You have a customer list, you have a Shopify store, you have this value ladder. It's more diversified. It will get a higher multiple valuation and so forth. But to answer your question, what would they do if they want to, you know, reduce that cost, if they want to do something cheaper? They could do something simpler, like just a simple kind of maybe a concierge card. So I've done stuff in the past that looks almost like either a business card or a membership card. It could be metal, it could be PVC, and you can bake an NFC chip into it for very cheap. So you can order these from Alibaba and you'll have an NFC chip similar to like your credit card. And then you can have something on there that directs them to basically either text you or tap the card at their phone, and it can open up a communication pathway. So you can say, hey, get your VIP concierge support and one support, whatever it may be, by visiting this link, texting this number, texting this code to this number, or tapping this to your phone. And something like that, you're really just paying for the card and then maybe whatever customer service that has to go along with that. And in most cases, if you already have the customer support in place, if you already have that infrastructure, it's really just the cost of the card.
Yeah, nice. I like that a lot because the value you're offering there is a sort of extra level of service. So it's a service rather than a physical product thing. And given that not that many people are actually going to do it, if you offer something like that, you may not have a great incremental cost, or you can sort of bury it in your existing overheads rather than adding hard physical product costs that you got to order and you got to tie up your cash. I like that's very nice. Okay, so the next thing then. So we've got to get an enticing offer up front. The economics are going to make sense. So I guess we cover that. And then what happens next? You talked about surveys. Is that, how does that interact? Is that sort of putting a bit of friction in before you then start going, right, you're on my list, I'm going to reach out to you? How does that form part of the picture?
Yeah, so there's kind of two ways you can build something like this. There's a low-tech way and there's more of a high-tech way. So the low-tech way would be like using something like Typeform or Google Forms. You send them to a landing page. They put in their information manually, like their name, their order number, their address. If you have a short survey you want them to fill out about their experience with the product, how they're liking it, what they don't like, whatever, they can fill all that out. And this gives you all this, not only their information to send them the free gift, but also really valuable input to help you make the product better, to make it, like I have found over the years that this is actually really, really important, because most Amazon sellers get very complacent and they don't improve the product. They just keep selling the same thing for you know, many, many years. And if you can just take this information and every, you know, 3 to 6 months, make a small improvement, make it a little bit better, launch some new version of that that makes it better. That's just going to get you ahead of the game and take more and more market share. So I definitely think that something like that will be valuable. That's the low tech way. The high tech way would be basically building a funnel. This requires a little more development. So you have to hire developers, or our agency does this as a service. LaunchTitans can build something like this. But basically it's a custom landing page, almost looks like a website, or it can be a subdomain off your website. And basically they go to this page, they put in all that info. And the way that we have structured it in the past is that basically it communicates with your Amazon Seller Central account. so that it automatically verifies their order ID. So basically step one would be the person puts in their information, name, email, maybe phone number, because we want to squeeze that info first to make sure we have them on our list. Then step two would be to get basically their order number and validate the order number. And especially if you're giving something away tangible, you want an automated process like this that, number one, takes away the manual pain of having to go through and verify all the customer's information, make sure they didn't abuse the system and they're not getting free products more than once. But the beauty of this is completely automated. It's going to verify all of that. It's going to make sure that they didn't already claim the gift, but it'll also verify that they bought the correct product. They bought the correct ASIN, relevant ASIN, but it'll also verify when they bought it. So if you wanted to put a minimum time frame in place where you say, hey, I need you to wait 2 weeks to be able to complete this survey, this process, you can take them to a page that says, hey, you're not eligible quite yet. You will be soon. Here are the qualifications. You need to wait a couple weeks, blah, blah, blah. And so this funnel would automate all that with custom code that links with the Seller Central account via API. So everything's completely automated. They go through the funnel, they fill out the survey. And then at the end of the survey, basically, they confirm their address. And then that their address goes into however you want to ship it, whether it be ShipStation or some other 3PL or a spreadsheet or whatever it may be, your Shopify store even. The order then gets dumped into there via API. And then your fulfillment team can then easily fulfill that free gift item. So it's completely automated. All you have to do every day is just fulfill the gifts, ship them, and then follow up. The only thing I would recommend is following up for a review, or also following up if someone had a bad experience, making sure you make that right. If there's an issue, if their product broke, make sure to contact them. Because basically with the way we build it, the customer has a dashboard where you can then, the client has a dashboard where they can go see all the customer submissions, and they can see basically everyone who went through the funnel and submitted their survey, and you can see their responses, and then you see the order number, the ASIN, the response and all that. And then you can simply just take that order number, go into Seller Central, and then look up their order, and there's a request a review button right within Seller Central. So you can click that button, it'll automatically send them a request for a review. Amazon will email them a review request. So that's a very minimal hands-on approach, mostly 95% automated. That helps you get more positive reviews and helps mitigate negative reviews by just having more visibility.
Great. So I was going to say, that's the final thing, is the outreach piece. Once you've got people's details, reaching out to them. So have you got any particular do's and don'ts on preventing negative reviews or getting those removed or trying to get the positive reviews? What do you do in that?
Yeah, the best way, if you want it to be really automated, you could put them on an email drip. So everybody who goes through the process, who goes through the survey, you could have them go onto your email list. Like if you have a Klaviyo email list or whatever, maybe they can go into there into a certain campaign, and then you can drip out a sequence of emails to them and warm them up. Maybe you send them some free content, things that go with their orders, a welcome email, that sort of thing. What you want is an open line of communication. So you want to let them basically know, hey, thank you so much for completing the survey. We're sending you the free item. You should receive it in the next, 3 to 5 business days and so forth. Any issues, any questions, if you need replacement parts or whatever it may be, just hit reply to this email. Let me know. I'm here to help anytime. I'm the owner, blah, blah, blah. We're a small business, blah, blah, blah. Get them to connect with you and just open up that line of communication. Because if you can get them to easily hit reply and reach out to you, they will. Versus going to Amazon and impacting your NCX rate, your refund rate, and potentially getting a negative review as a result because they didn't know how to easily reach you and solve an issue. So yeah. Definitely an email drip of some sort, or even a manual email to them is I think warranted.
Yeah, fantastic. And obviously you've got a very sophisticated approach to building these funnels. We'll talk about what you offer in a sec, but just to sort of make the low grade, primitive observation that people often will leave a negative review as a primitive form of communication because Amazon makes that easy. And if you don't make it just as easy to contact you, that's what's going to happen. Whereas if you actually, when people are angry and upset and disappointed, that implies that they had an expectation, which is actually a good thing. They believed your promise. So if you can go back to them directly yourself, the other thing, as we've all seen, but I mean, I guess some people out there may not have experienced, is if you really treat your customers well, 1-star reviews are much more likely to turn into 5-star reviews than a neutral person who doesn't really care much either way, right? As you said, angry people leave reviews, happy people generally don't. I was just literally thinking, I just ordered something from Amazon, it arrived just before our call. And I've used it for 7 years and it's done an amazing service and I never left a review for it. So there you go. So look, talking of all these sophisticated things you do, obviously some of the things you're doing, while they make sense on paper, sound a bit hard to do yourself. An Amazon API doesn't automatically fill me with joy. So tell us a bit about how you help do this for people who don't want to do it for themselves.
Yeah. So basically with Longshittens, we're a full service agency. We have a team of developers that can build these types of funnels very quickly and fairly easily and integrate it with whatever website that they're already working with. So if the client has, let's say, a Shopify store and they have their domain on Shopify or GoDaddy, we can simply build like a subdomain, like maybe it's like gift.theirdomain.com or something like that. And so that way it's a natural kind of extension of their current site. And this funnel can be cohesively designed to look like their current site and their branding and so forth. So our team can design it and build it, integrate it with their seller account, as well as their 3PL or their ShipStation or whatever they're using to fulfill it. So that way it's really, really hands off. The client, you know, doesn't really have a ton to do manually. It's mostly hands off, which is what you want. If you're running a larger Amazon business, it becomes really hard at scale to handle this stuff manually. Like if you're doing a type form, you can do that if you have low volume, but if you're getting a lot of requests or submissions a day, it becomes like impossible to manage that.
I mean, I think scaling stuff like this is something to think about sooner rather than later, because the need to reviews is so absolutely paramount and at the center of what we do. This isn't building like an email list in old school internet marketing where you build a list of freebie subscribers and hope they one day do things. First of all, if your reviews go down, you've lost your conversion rate and the economics of a product often just breaks completely. It doesn't make any profit. Secondly, you're building a list, and I want to just hit this because people hear email list and they assume it's a list of prospects. This is a list of people who've actually spent money with you, right? Which I think is exponentially more valuable. And if I were buying a business, then I would be way more interested in this. I would probably dismiss any Facebook presence they have that isn't really seriously integrated into their system. I might be vaguely interested in a list of potential customers, but people who've actually spent money on your actual products and you have a warm relationship with, I would seriously, you know, consider spending a lot more money on that business. So it has very, very concrete value, I guess, because it's obviously going to be work and obviously cost. But I think this is so, so important. And I've got to say as well that the final point about review funnels in general, when I've seen businesses that have implemented things along this sort of lines, not the same structure, they've got the review rate up from 1% to 4%. So it really, really makes a difference, doesn't it? So good stuff, Kusha. So I know we've got to get on to talking about reducing Amazon ad spend without losing sales in our next episode, which is really critical. Is there any other question that I should have asked you about review funnels that I didn't ask you?
No, I think we covered it.
Excellent. Well, so Kusha Kavandi, launchtitans.com is the place if you want to go and check out what they do, ladies and gents. And in the meantime, just remains for me to say, Kusha, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time, and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you on a call soon. Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast for 6- and 7-figure Amazon sellers. I really hope you found the show helpful to you. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please do leave us a quick star rating. It will take you all of 30 seconds to do it, but it does mean we can be found by and help many more e-commerce business builders. I wish you fast and profitable scaling, and I hope you enjoy the process of building your 7-figure Amazon business. Thanks very much for listening.